Have you ever had one of those moments where pride gets in the way of you doing what you know is the smart thing to do? Because when I think about my life, I can think of a lot of examples where I've done that. The most recent example happened in the last 2 weeks while we were on our trip. See, I'm from Tasmania, and in Tasmania, we don't have swags to sleep in. It's too cold. So I'm still new to the whole idea of swags. But we've loved it in the Central Desert. They've been wonderful. And when we were camping, we had 2 nights camping on our trip at Wongai Falls in Litchfield National Park. And I learned a very important lesson. Open swags are not designed for the top end if you don't have a mozzie net. Now, I've got 5 people in my family, so Emma and the girls were all sleeping in the tent. And I was looking forward to sleeping in the swag, looking at the stars, and just being out enjoying the nice warm air. And shortly after Emma and the girls went to bed, I snuggled into the swag, and then I heard bzzz, bzzz, bzzz. Every time I rolled over or moved, I could hear those mosquitoes coming for me again and again and again. I went, I'm not going to go into the tent. Emma and the girls are asleep. I don't want to wake them up. The mozzies will go to bed soon. Mozzies don't sleep. All night long, I lay there rolling over, attacking my face, attacking my arms. There were multiple times throughout the night that I went, I really should just get up and move into the tent. If I wake people up, that's okay. I will be a much better person tomorrow if I get sleep. But then a voice inside said, but you said you were going to stay out here. So I did. And I learned that the price of pride is pain. A lot of it. We have been doing a series. We started last year and we've picked it up again this year called Complex Parables. We have been looking at some of these picture stories that Jesus shared that were designed to challenge, to teach, to confront, and to help people understand more about who God was and what the kingdom of God is. And the reason that it's called Complex Parables is because these stories that Jesus told often had this twist that was confronting and challenging for his hearers at the time, and is confronting and challenging for us today. And today I want to look at one of these parables that is called The Pharisee and the Tax Collector. And it's found in Luke chapter 18. And we're going to start reading from verse 9. To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everyone else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, God, I thank you that I'm not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Now, you might listen to this, and there might be some of the words that are used, particularly by the Pharisee, that make you go, ooh, that doesn't quite sit right with me. But let's start to unpack this parable and look at what's going on here. So, verse 10, two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. So we've got two characters in this parable. We've got two characters in this story. They're both going to the same place. They're both going to the temple. And they're both going for the same reason. They're both going there to pray because you really want to pray to God. Where do you go? You go to the temple. Two people going to the same place to do the same thing, But these characters are completely and utterly different. See, the first character we've got is the Pharisee. And when we hear Pharisee, we kind of hear it a little bit differently to the way that Jesus' hearers would have heard it back in the first century. Because we've got 2,000 years of Christian tradition that we hear it through. And so when we hear the word Pharisee, we often hear hypocrite, adversary of Jesus, somebody who is so focused on the law that they can't see the point of it. We kind of read all these things into it, and yet that's not what Jesus would have heard, or what Jesus' speakers would have heard. When Jesus speaks of a Pharisee, he's referring to somebody who belonged to a specific group of people. And this is a group of people who earnestly sought to follow God. They truly desired to be able to follow God, to be able to honor him. The Pharisees, they were a spiritual example to the people around them. They were a leader to many around them. And they were experts in the law. They understood the Torah. They knew the Torah. They had memorized huge amounts of it. And so they would have a pretty good understanding of who God is and what would please him. And by choosing a Pharisee, Jesus is picking somebody that you would expect to see at the temple. This is somebody who would fit in. This is somebody who you would expect to be there, who would be welcomed into that place. You know, this is like us finding somebody who we always see at church. You know, every week you see that same person at church. They're always there. They belong there. They're welcomed there. That is their place. For the Pharisee, he fits in at the temple. And even if you didn't exactly agree with their theology, they were still respected. They were still somebody who was honored. And his prayer kind of shows that he's a good person. You know, he doesn't do the wrong thing. Better than that, he actually goes above and beyond what the law requires. See, he highlights that he's not like those other people who God would look down on. He goes above and beyond the law. See, the law might command only one or two fasts for the year. He fasts twice a week. If the law is here, he's here. He's exceeding expectations. While the law commanded a tithe of produce and certain parts, he says, I give a tenth of all I get. Everything that comes in, I give a tenth to God. So again, the law is here, and he is exceeding expectations. To the people who are listening to this parable as Jesus told it, this is a guy who has got everything together. This is a guy who is respected, who is going above and beyond in his duties. And then we've got the tax collector, who is the complete opposite. Tax collector. They didn't belong at the temple. In fact, they were the social outcast. As you read the Gospels there, the title tax collector seems to be synonymous with sinner, used interchangeably. And as Jesus tells this parable, there were probably a couple of sideways glances at Levi, one of Jesus' disciples who used to be a tax collector. Maybe a few little knowing smirks as they looked at him, as they start to think of where this parable might be going. But this tax collector, as he goes to the temple, he would have had a space around him, not out of respect, but because people wouldn't want to get too close because they don't want to be deemed unclean. They don't want to get too close to somebody like that. And so when the tax collector comes to the temple, he stands at a distance because he's not sure he belongs there. He doesn't look up to heaven because God is too amazing. I can't lift my eyes because I'm not worthy for that. And his prayer is simple. God, have mercy on me, a sinner. To the people who are listening to this parable, they're smiling away because they know what this is all about. This makes as much sense as one and one makes two. See, to the people who are listening at the moment, this seems like it is a parable about God's mercy being available to everyone. You've got the Pharisee who's got everything all together, and you've got the tax collector who feels like he doesn't belong. And God's going to show mercy to them both. God's going to show his love to them both. And you know, that seems to pass the test, right? It's consistent with Scripture. We see those kind of stories of God loving the people on the outside all the time. It seems to be consistent with God's character. And it's consistent with the other things that Jesus has taught. And maybe as you're listening, you can kind of relate to one of these two characters. Maybe you're sitting here going, you know what? My life's pretty good at the moment. I'm actually kind of got a bit of a handle on what's going on here, and I can go above and beyond. I'm a bit like the Pharisee at the moment. And God's going to show mercy. Or maybe you're like feeling a little bit more like the tax collector, feeling like you don't belong, that you're not welcomed. But God's going to show mercy. But what about verse 9? Kind of skipped over it before. See, verse 9 to start this off says, to some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everyone else, Jesus told this parable. This parable is directed at certain people. To some, Jesus told this parable. He's aiming it at someone or a couple of people. Who? It is the people who are confident of their own righteousness. It's the one who looks down on everybody else. And as we think about this parable, as we think about what's been shared, who does that remind us of? It's a Pharisee. The one who seemed to have it all together, the one who seemed to be going above and beyond the law. That sounds like that. That's the kind of person that Jesus is directing this parable to. And Jesus actually ends this parable. Let's read verses 13 and 14 together. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breasts and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, the tax collector, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. This is the record scratch moment. This is the moment where Jesus' mic drops. And the people who are listening to this parable, smiling and nodding, thinking they know exactly where it's going, all of a sudden stop with fear in their eyes. And they gulp. Because this is the moment when they realize that maybe this parable isn't as nice as they thought it was. Because maybe, just maybe, this parable is a warning from Jesus that the attitude in which you approach God matters. See, this is the confronting, uncomfortable twist of this parable, that it's not about God just accepting everyone. But there was one who went home justified. and not the other. So why? Why was one justified and the other wasn't? Let's take another look at the Pharisee. Verses 11 and 12. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed. And it was fascinating as I was doing the research for this that I saw some translations actually had the Pharisee stood and prayed to himself or prayed about himself. Gives a bit of an interesting picture there. But the Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, God, I thank you that I'm not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get. We see those two attitudes that are the reason that Jesus told this parable in the first place, both in this Pharisee. The first attitude is he looks down on other people. It's this attitude that says, I am better than them. It's actually really easy to preach this at the evening service because I know that those chairs are always empty and I'm not going to be pointing at anyone. You know, it's this attitude that says, I am better than the people around me. I matter more than them. And we see it. He separates himself. He doesn't want to be seen with them. He wants to stand out from the crowd because he matters. He's important. He's the one who people need to see. So he moves himself away from the people around them, and then he describes them. I'm not like those other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. You know, I really struggle as he says that because I'm like, is that how he views everyone around him? Does he just look at everyone around him and see everyone for their faults and their failures? Every time he meets somebody, is he judging them, dismissing their value and writing them off for what he can see on the surface or what he might know about what's going on inside? And as I read this parable and as I see this attitude, I go, I really hope Jesus is using exaggeration here. And then I actually think about some people that I've met over the years. And I realize there are people like this around. But sometimes we look at the furthest example and we miss the smaller examples of this attitude. Because there's this really common thing that we often do, which is we try and define us and them. Whenever we do that, we're separating ourselves away from them. We're dividing ourselves away from them. And we might say that we're doing it for nice reasons. You know, I really feel sorry for them and what they're going through at the moment. But that language of them, it dismisses. It devalues. It looks down on others. We get caught in this. One of the things that I really struggle with is for us in the church, we often talk about those outside the church as having no joy. I know so many happy people outside the church. But we build up this picture in our minds that they have no joy, they have no hope. And yeah, they need to be introduced to Jesus. But we build up this picture, we devalue them by turning them into a them. We fall into the same mistake as the Pharisee. And the attitude that he has here, when he thanks God that he's not like them, he is actually insulting God. Because he's saying, God, your creations are broken, are failures, are worthless. These people who are made in your image, they don't matter. I matter, but they don't. This attitude doesn't care that God loves them, that God wants the best for them, that God is reaching out to them. In fact, he dismisses that idea because it's like, why should they matter? you've got me. It's this prideful attitude that says, I know better, that he's addressing to God. And so that's the first attitude there. But the second one is the confident of his own righteousness. I save myself. You know, his prayer focuses on all the things and all the actions that he does. I don't do the same things that they do. More than that, I fast twice a week. You said that we needed to do this much. I'm doing this much. I exceed your expectations. I tithe on everything, not just the part that you've told me to. I'm going to tithe on everything. I'm exceeding your expectations. I'm above what you've asked for. I go above and beyond the law. And what this attitude is actually saying to God is, I don't need your help. I just need you to follow through on your end of the bargain. It's this idea of reducing God to a business partner. It's this idea of reducing God to, I have done all that I need to do, so you just need to do your bit. Thinking that you're on the same level. And these attitudes, seeing himself as better than the people around him, seeing himself as greater, he's trying to push God out of God's place as king and creator and Lord over all. It's this prideful attitude that says, I don't need you anymore. And the reason that he goes home not justified is because God says, okay, I'll listen to you. But there's a third attitude that's at work in this parable, and it's the tax collector. And it's the attitude of, I need help. Here we have the tax collector who sees God for who he is. He knows God is powerful. He knows that God is his only hope. He knows that God is merciful and loving. And so in his attitude, he asks God for help. The tax collector knows, I can't do this by myself. I need help. And so it's this posture of humility as he approaches God. He doesn't want to stand with everybody else. He doesn't feel like he fits in. He doesn't even want to look up to heaven. And he just beats his breast and says, God, I need help. Show me your mercy, please. I'm a sinner. I've failed. He approaches God knowing exactly who God is and asks him for help. Now, sometimes we can look at this parable and we can look at the difference between these two and we can kind of go, right, I need to be more like the tax collector. And we can take that too far. We think that we need to consider ourselves worthless in order to come to God. We need to consider ourselves as having nothing to give or nothing to bring. That's actually not Jesus' point here. God wants us to delight in who he has made us to be, in the gifts and the talents that he has given us. He wants us to delight in that. God wants us to delight in the things that he has helped us to do, the ways in which we love other people. He wants us to delight and find joy in those things. God wants us to thank him for the blessings that he pours out on our life. It's not about making ourselves as completely and utterly worthless. It's about having an honest understanding of who God is and putting him in the correct place as we approach him. See, if I go back to verse 9, and as I look at why Jesus told this parable, it's to some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everyone else. Jesus told this parable. This parable is still relevant for us today. This is still something that we struggle with today. This is about pride. And you might not boldly stand up when you pray and talk about how much better you are than the riffraff over there. I've given them enough, so I'll point at these guys now. You might not say that, and yet maybe it's found in the way in which you think about them. You choose to devalue them in your mind in the way that you think about them. It may never come out of your mouth. And so you devalue God's creation. You think that you know better than God. Or it's when you are praying and you start listing all the things that you're doing correctly because you want to remind God of what he owes you. You start trying to turn him into a business partner and into a contract. Or maybe it's when you're praying and rather than asking for God to be involved in a situation, you start telling him how to fix the situation. The thing about pride is we don't start off like the Pharisee. It grows and it develops and it sneaks in. But Jesus didn't tell this parable because he wanted to hurt people. Jesus told this parable because he wanted to shock them and confront them as an act of love. Because once we become aware of it, we can bring it before God and say, hey, God, I need help with my pride. And that is humility. That is what God wants us to do. That is what Jesus wants us to do, to be able to realize we need help as we approach him. And so I wonder, what's the attitude that you have as you approach God? Do you try to tell him what to do? Do you remind him of your goodness? Do you insult his creation? Or do you approach him going, God, I need help. I need you. In a posture of humility. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, I want to say thank you for this parable. This parable that is incredibly uncomfortable at times and challenging at times. But God is so incredibly relevant for us today. Lord, I want to pray that you would help open our eyes to see those spaces and those places where we let pride sneak in. Where we start to exalt ourselves. God, when we find those places, help us to ask for your help in dealing with them. Lord, help us to check our attitudes before we approach you and every time we approach you. And God, we thank you for who you are. We thank you that you are patient and loving and kind and merciful. And Lord, we thank you that you accept all of us when we ask for your help. Help us to know that we need you always. For these things we pray in your name. Amen.